So that's like another thing. Here's a little side angle on the thing that Moses said, that the problem is you want like the spirit of the law, not just always the letter of the law. Because as I said, the letter of that law does allow people to do these stacks and then just pull the internet cable out and cheat, basically. So what you need, basically, and listen, it's not really a tangent I often go down, but in the Bible, there's the story of King Solomon, right? Who was supposedly the wisest man. Bible corner, sit down, Moses. So the reason why Solomon was so wise, this all definitely happened, kids, was supposedly he asked God, you know, he was like a good guy before God or whatever. And then God said, like, you know, ask me for anything. And obviously it was like a trick question, right? Because what you're supposed to say is like, give you all the money and women or whatever. But instead, Solomon, because he's such a straight fire baller, was like, give me wisdom. By the way, secretly, he just hacked the system. He knew if you have wisdom, you get all the money and the women anyway. Straight fire. So he got wisdom, right? So the joke is, in this scenario, there's a famous story, which I won't go into. You can go read it. That's right. I'm now recommending you read the Bible. That's what this show's become. Listen, Zeus's influence entirely wasn't the reason for this, but it's coming on now. This is a Christian podcast. I hope you'll know. Whatever. But anyway, famously, there's that story where that person comes with the baby, and then Solomon's so wise, he sort of knows how to resolve this super difficult situation that, like, there is no right answer to it, seemingly. And he basically figures out, like, what would be the spirit of this case? Like, how would I find out who this baby should belong to? And I mean, it was a story, but obviously he finds like the right answer in this case, right?
I guarantee you the outrage here in Brazil over all of this shit, like a gigantic part of it was because, okay, we're saying something's fucked up. And like, we know internally us as players and everything that they did look into it, that they thought insufficient or not. No, okay. We know that, but nothing was put out. And yes, the moment people feel like they're getting ignored, that's going to lead like it's, I know I'm getting a lot of things, but it's just everything mixes together in the moment that that we're living here, right? So like, I think that it does come back again to be on the summit, and I don't know if it's Valve behind it that ties their hand that doesn't allow them to do it the same way orcs tie players when they want to comment. I know Valve can tie the organizer, but it doesn't make it the right way to go about things. Like, because if something had been addressed, it still would have been bad, the things that were said, but it wouldn't have gotten to the size which they did.
Yes. That's actually something I want to comment on in general, is like, that's one area that I feel like everyone kept getting lost. A lot of the Brazilian fans didn't understand this point. It's not about if he actually cheated. That's the point that we're making here. Because actually, listen, I agree with Zeus. They were suspicious. Now, listen, they weren't the craziest clips ever. I've seen some clips of actual people who've won majors that were crazier than that. But in this context, I agree. They looked like, in the moment especially, the first time you saw them, a couple of them looked dodgy. But the point we're making here is, if you're a pro player, listen, if you're a fan, you can say cheated all day long if you believe that. But if you're a pro player and a player who played in the match against him, you're just not allowed to, I'm afraid. Unless that guy gets actually caught by Valve cheating, you can't do it. And that's also the problem Gaules has. Listen, if Gaules was just a streamer, and that was like he was just streaming CS himself, and then afterwards he commented, I agree, Zeus. If someone asks him in his chat, like, if someone asks me, and if I was, I'm not streaming, but if I was streaming and someone said, do you think Flusher cheated back in the day? I told you, I have the best answer ever. I say, like, I don't know he did. I just think he did. So it's like a clever way to get around it and say sort of like, I think it's suspicious clips, right? But the problem Gaules had was he didn't stop and think, I'm co-streaming these events. Like, that makes me a semi-official fucking broadcast partner. So now it's like the commentator on TV being like, he's a fucking cheater, that guy, dude. Like, imagine someone doing that like an NFL game. Like, that would be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit hate and love that the casters is leaving for the roles. I understand it because it's a great role, and I think especially with like Moses and Henry, they can bring some banter, and they can bring good banter. They're not going to get bitchy because of the banter. It's going to be more entertainment, and that is also what this is. It's an entertainment thing. Sure, it's a sport and all that, but in the end, we're entertainers, in my opinion at least. So for that reason, I support it a lot as well. But then again, someone is going to have to take the role of Moses on a desk or Henry G, and who is going to step up to the task.
Tough shoes to fill, baby.
Yeah, but it definitely is. But the future, in my opinion, definitely, like you said, like a Gobi would be a great GM. Yeah, I'm not sure what role he has right now. He has some role in big, but yeah, those kind of people are going to create great teams, I'm sure of it.
That does seem whack, though, Moses. Like, Moses literally gets this whole campaign. He joins Team Liquid. Like, he's announced everyone's enjoying. Then Henry's like, oh, wait for me. Like, oh, I'm going to join Cloud9 then, like the rival. Oh, hey, guys. Like, no, I bet Sponge is just, like, trying to get in fucking 100 Thieves now or something. Like, let me in there. Can I get in here? It's like, you can't leave these motherfuckers alone, can they? They can't just leave you alone, Moses. Can't they just keep doing their job?
I know. I tried to get the fuck away from them, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
Because overall, I think there's so many interesting personalities in the scene. I mean, I play FPL at nights. I can have insanely fun with a lot of these pro players, but then I see them go into to the games or interviews or whatever, and they just put on a match face, or like they're just answering the same questions over and over again.
Being the nice guy. Yeah, just doing the PR answers. Like,
show yourself, show your personality. I think everyone can step up a lot with that. Sure, I understand why a lot of people don't do it as well, because as I said, the backlash today is immense. Yeah. Like, the community can turn the hand on you so easily for whatever. So,
dude, that one where you were dressed up all gangster was one of the most ridiculous skits I've seen, where you had that, like, fucking bandana on or whatever. Like,
stupid. I think on the plane down there, we all watched that Straight Outta Compton.
There we go.
And we all, like, loved it. It was so fun. We had so much fun on the plane. And then going in, I think it was the final against Na'Vi or something, we said, like, let's buy these.
Yeah, that was Pro League Season 2.
Yeah. Let's buy these hats and, like, rock it. And super fun.
Like, every now and then someone will post one of those images, because obviously there's all the, like, Thug Life memes that they made out of it. And every time I see it, I'm like, I can't even believe that's real. That's not even... That's only the glasses are Photoshop. The rest is actually real.
Yes.
What about Apex's starving? Because here's the thing, right? I will set this up by totally admitting, I did not think when Alex left Vitality that Vitality would ever be number one again or win the tournament. Like, I even thought, like, eventually they're going to have to get another in-game leader. Like, it's just, you know, like, and that's not a diss. But the reason why I set that up, and I say that as a disclaimer, is it's not, though, that Apex has zero history with it being an IGL, though. Even though it does seem weird that, like, it was classically being a hard entry for Aggro to be an in-game leader. If people don't know, when Apex was actually in the Titan team with existence, towards the end of that team, he actually did do some of the calling. I had some spies who sent me some videos back in the day. And also, if people don't... listen, mate, I have some fucking insane connections people just don't know about. I wait till down the line before I reveal it. That's the thing with me, was like, my red weddings come years after the fact. Like, you just don't know I was doing that shit the whole time. But anyway, don't worry about it.
So I feel like I've been a bit known to be one of the oddest French player, hardworking French player. I mean, I've been working forever.
Not the greatest competition, I will say, for that role, but I'd agree, you're up there.
Yeah, I mean, in 2000, I remember...
You missed the joke there, folks, but it's okay. Keep going.
In 2011, for example, I remember that I was watching demos for it was on Counter-Strike Source against Verigames, because I wanted to win that game. And at that moment, like, no one was watching demos. Right, no one was doing that back in the days. So I felt like it was not fair for me that I was putting more work than most of my teammates, but I was still the mid in the team. Yes. So I felt like I could not be the superstar player, because I never wanted to be a superstar player. But I just wanted to participate more to the team, like being less entry-fragger. So,
by the way, in case you didn't know, because since obviously that's like an idiom from French, apparently, like to throw meat to the dogs. If we get the premise right, the analogy makes sense. In English, what you normally say in that situation is it's called cannon fodder. It's the idea of, like, you know, the infantry guy that you throw away on, like, the fucking tanks or whatever, so you can run it. If anyone remembers, it's like that classic scene, one of my favorite of all time, in the great movie Braveheart, where that Edward Longshanks, that English king, who, by the way, chef's
personal
kiss.
Idol of yours,
exactly. Whoever played that guy, I can't remember the actor, but chef's kiss, amazing job. Because this guy is like the greatest asshole leader of all time. And if you remember, there's a scene where he says, like, you know, like,
Send
something like that. Yeah, no, exactly. The guy goes like, something like, sir, we should use the archers or something. He's like, arrows cost money. Send the Irish. He's like, and then he just sends all them in to just get wrecked completely. Like, basically, that's the premise we're talking about here. But yeah. Of the four of us, I know I just quit that job, but I've got this thing on YouTube. You know, I've got money. Actually, the only one of us that's unemployed is our last guest. And so, but it's all right. Listen, he used to play CS and everything back in the day. I'm sure he's still got some good insight. So it's obviously MSL here, formerly of, let's go through it all. Like, he's got, back in the day, Western Wolves. bunch of shit teams after that that everyone in the Danish scene who isn't in TSM and Strauss pretends don't exist. Like, and all you out there are like, it's weird how Glaive didn't play CS for a few years. Oh, he did. You just don't know that he was just going out in majors like last place every time with a bunch of mega players. But anyway, yeah, the Western Wolves, obviously Dignitas, turned into North. Some would say that's where it all went downhill, but there were still those weird moments where we entered the Twilight Zone. And of course, MSL was out AWPing Device in his prime at the peak of Astralis, beating them twice, winning the MVP on Overpass, 16-2 in the final. I don't fucking know. Mate, there's one question I've got for you, MSL. Even you must sometimes almost, like, you know, in English culture, we say, like, if you think you're dreaming, you want to, like, pinch your arm to see if it's real. Like, is this a dream or not? Even you must think back on that memory and just be like, was that even me? Was that another life? What was that fucking tournament? DreamHack Stockholm, mate, because that was like an alternate reality. You actually were the MVP for real.
Yeah, it was legit too. Crazy. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, I was MVP for 14 days, I think, and I just never expected that. And it was like, it was the most roller coaster experience I ever tried. Like, MVP at Stockholm, going out at major qualifier, getting kicked. Like, it was.
I think you're doing it in the wrong order then. It's supposed to go the other way around. Like, that is unbelievable. The problem with that, really, right, is I think roughly it was like somewhat like a month or something that span. Dude, that should just be a documentary. It should just start on, like, you know, day one. It's like, I'm winning the event. I've just beaten the best thing. Then on day 30, it's like, I am now unemployed. Like, what? What happened in the last 30 days?
Crazy.
And it's like, you're probably wondering how I got here. And then the documentary starts, of course. We go back in time. What would you say, Amosel? What were the problems in North in that sense? Because obviously one of the things people look at, which I do agree with, is it didn't do some... There wasn't really, like, big-name signings for those last few years. It was a lot of, like, gambles or, like, underwhelming ones or nobodies. Like, you didn't really get the big names like that were in the Mad Lions teams and the Heroics of the world. Like, some of these people went by you and to other teams. So what would you say was the downfall of North in that sense? And what do you think on this angle of the executives and the staff, etc.?
Yeah, I have to watch out what I say, because I obviously have my opinion and maybe Wimp have a different view.
Of course, yeah.
But my opinion was that we focused too much on outgame stuff as, like, fitness. I remember with Wimp, we had to go up at 8 o'clock to do fitness, and then we did, like, what is this workout called? The CrossFit, where you just destroy yourself.
You just wreck yourself physically. That's mega cardio,
like,
basically.
I remember going up to practice and I couldn't feel my arms. And I just think that stuff like this and sports psychologists, like, where you get forced. If you get forced to do as a sports psychologist, I feel like it's not a good thing. I will say in the NTR, we had a great sports psychologist where it was mostly about, like, making the team together and so on. And I think he is, like, he's in the football team now as well, and works with really good football players. He's really good. So I think in the end, some things were right, but when it was with Wimp and Ave, it was just all over the place. And I think it's one of the reasons why, for example, Config went away from it, because there was so much, like, looking back, we didn't really play so much CS because we had to do so much other stuff. Like, and I think in the end, playing a lot of CS will make a huge difference.
Exactly. I think a big problem then is that they're treating their practice schedules as, like, 90% scrims, when in actual fact, like, the scrim should just be like the testing ground. It should be like your 40%, your 30% of what you're actually doing in practice, so that you can actually build upon something. That's in my opinion, at least.
Were you guys doing, like, theory stuff? Is that what you're implying? Because obviously, I mean, there must be somewhere where you come up with all this shit, right?
So we used to do four scrims, and then we changed to, like, three scrims instead every single day. And then we would do, like, 2 hours plus of just server work. And then in between scrims, we would be watching, like, the VODs of the scrims that we actually played. So it was more like only like half of our practice schedule ended up being scrims. And I think that worked better for us. But I guess teams are different, so that was just our thing.
Oh, there's another thing.
An hour before.
Are you doing an hour before? Okay.
Yeah.
That's legit. I mean, people obviously wouldn't know that. Is that even now after Steel's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there's another angle as well, by the way. I hate to get political, but if Americans won't do the fucking job, we'll go get the Aussies, we'll get fucking South Africans, Brazilians. We'll bring anyone over there. If that fucking money's there, someone's going to come get that bread. So
you're tired, you're sick, you're poor.
Exactly. Who wants to work? basically just make a statue of me, put that on Ellis Island, saying Jesus. About bringing that on, bring all the Counter-Strike players in. That's what I'll do. I will flood your country with immigrants, more than
statue of Thorin fucking over there.
Exactly.
Best Photoshop wins.
Actually, I don't know why there's... Well, people think there's like an age cap when playing pro CS. Like, what is getting older really affecting you when you play? You're just playing Counter Strike. Like, I don't think getting older actually really affects anything.
Besides, I can answer this question.
I was saying this too, because like in real life sports, like people hitting their primes around like 28 to like 34, and like I don't see how like being old in CS like affects you. To be honest, maybe your reaction a little slightly lower, but I don't feel like it's that big of a deal.
It's not the reactions or the skills. It's like just generally you have more stuff going on outside of the game. Yeah, like whether it's family, whether it's like, you know, I right when I switched to coaching, I bought a house, and I can just say the amount of hours that I have to focus on the house, like it's a very long day having to work on a house in the morning and then come back and do practice. So once those priorities start coming in, I think that's the roughest part. And the fact that I learned this early on, but I think some people don't realize it so much, especially pros that always feel like they're a little bit established and are a little bit arrogant about their position. It sneaks up on you because there's always like some 17-year-old kid who has like, you know, 18 hours in a day to put into Counter-Strike. Yes. And when you are that young, you want to play the game 15 to 18 hours a day. You want to be pugging. You want to be deathmatching.
You want the RWS.
Yeah.
You want that graphics card or whatever it is.
You know, once you hit 30, you're like, oh, I can, you know, I'll just end this night early a little bit, or, you know, whatever it might be. I'll go have a drink with some friends, or I'll, you know, go spend the night by, I don't know, whatever you do at night or anything. But yeah, it's that.
Well, if anyone saw Flashpoint, well, we know what Dapper does at night. So, do you remember that interview? Yeah. Listen, he's a busy boy. I think his job, if he retires from CS, handyman. That would be my obvious. No, the thing is, Moses, it's interesting that you actually bought a house when you joined Team Liquid, because some would say that Team Liquid bought the farm when you joined. So,
oh yeah,
whatever. Anyway, that's all my material for now. So we've got to the end of the notebook.
Oh yeah, you and whose army? Well, how about the Skrilluminati for one? They're the people who support my content. This video was kindly supported by The Concept, Matt Pugnatio Rakula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Tosh, Jason, Bane Diesel, Animosity, and you know it, everyone does. A special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion, for the long-term support. Do you want to ask a question for my AMA videos? Would you like teasers? Find out what upcoming guests I've got. You want to suggest a topic or a guest? Maybe you want to be part of one of those one-hour lengthy online discussions I do where the topics are set by you. Well, if any of these perks or more tickle your fancy, I think you know what to do by now. Put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati. Where? Patreon link in the description below.